When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
I got a little bit distracted at the beginning there because you opened a can of something.
I just opened a can of Heineken Zero. I got nice. In from the football and I was feeling pretty down in the dumps because West Ham lost and it was just like bad day out.
What happened there was if it was 2-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2-0.
It was against Fulham?
Yeah, no.
Was everyone just tired from Europe?
We were tired from losing on Thursday, so we lost again on Sunday. it was pretty depressing. And I got back, and you know when you go to go, you're not really feeling it anyway in the first place. I mean, it's Sunday, 2 o'clock. I thought, I'll go along, obviously. And then from the moment I got there, I just wasn't feeling positive. I wasn't feeling any good vibes. So I left early. It was a long journey home. So cut long story short, I got in and I had half of one of the large bags of dry roasted KPs in the cupboard.
Half a bag?
Bags. It was about half a bag. You know, bag. I'm showing you my hands. So this is kind of, you know the one I mean. The resealable. Yeah. And to be honest, I just put on... Arsenal versus Aston Villa and I just sat there and ate the peanuts. And now I'm having a Heineken Zero because I'll be honest, I'm feeling very salty. Very salty, mate. I'm full of sodium.
You know, we need to rally ourselves and come up with some kind of entertainment for half an hour for the good people out there. Well, Aston Villa is still on. It's still 0-0.
Still 0-0.
As we're recording this. I feel as though that's how it's going to end probably, but I can't do the prediction results until that finishes, so we'll keep that for the end.
It'll probably finish while we're recording, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do. Before we started recording this, I didn't have any peanuts, but what I did have is a big chunk of Wall's Viennetta, Sam.
Oh, ho, ho. Beautiful.
I haven't had Viennetta for a long time, and it was magnificent, I have to say.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
It feels the ice cream felt a bit more watered down than it used to. Didn't feel as quite as ice creamy.
Well, I don't know. The thing is, ice cream's moved on a lot since when Viennetta first became like a thing in the 80s. And so now, maybe the ice cream's the same, but because that was before all these luxury ice creams you get, like your Haagen-Dazs, your Ben and Jerry's of this world, right, which are much thicker. And maybe we've been spoiled. You go back to Viennetta, you think it's a bit watery, but I'd still probably take a Viennetta over anything.
I mean, I think it was something like £1.20. It's been a bit of a recession-proof item.
Yeah.
Or cost of living, whatever it is. Not sure which is which.
Did I tell you what happened the other day, about 3 weeks ago? We were near Knightsbridge, so we decided to take the kids into Harrods just for a look around, right? We had like 20 minutes to spare. Mm-hmm. And I don't think my son had ever been in there. I think my daughter had maybe been there once. So I said, look, we're going past. We'll go in. You can have a quick look around, right? And obviously, we're not buying anything. But I said to my son, we went down to the basement of the book department. I said, right, in 20 minutes, I want you to try and find the most expensive, mind-bogglingly expensive thing you can in just this department. You can't go to different departments. He found a £4,000 book.
Fucking hell.
But this is the thing about the cost of living crisis, right, is that meanwhile, while we were looking for £4,000 books, right, which I think was some sort of special edition David Hockney artwork book or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, £4,000. I mean, it was a good book, don't get me wrong. I don't know if it's £4,000's worth of book, but whatever. My wife and my daughter, they went to the food hall, right? Have you ever been in that?
I've never been to Harrods in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an interesting place to go. But
do they still sell lions?
Yeah, they got lions, yeah. No, they don't. They don't sell lions anymore.
I'm passing by then, yeah.
But they do have £4,000 books. No, but the food hall is like the most, in some ways, it's like the most memorable bit of it because it's like outrageous, right? You walk into this huge thing and it's just like fucking amazing. I remember like going in there when I was a kid and you saw like a fucking dead pheasant, but still with all its plumage like hanging from the ceiling. It's like, fucking hell, this is where like Henry VIII did his shopping, right? It's where he did his big shop, right? And but my missus said she was looking around at the prices and stuff, right? And she went, you know what? I can't remember the last time in Harrods Food Hall, but you used to go in there and think, fucking hell, look at this. It's 20 quid for a bit of cheese or whatever, right? And it used to blow your socks off, right? Now, bear in mind, we're not completely monogamous when it comes to our big shop supermarket, but more often than not, it's Asda, right?
You like to tart around now and again.
We tart around a little bit, but I would say 85% of the year it's Asda. And then probably the rest, it's occasionally Sainsbury's or Tesco, right? And so it's not like we're shopping at the highest end, right, of the supermarket. But she said, the thing is, you go into Harrods Food Hall now. She went, and none of the prices make you go, fucking hell. They're all, she said, all you think is, that's a little bit more than I pay usually for that product, right?
Yeah.
And she went, and that's what's astonishing, is that you used to go in there and think, fucking hell, this is just like only the fucking queen can afford to shop here, right? Or your, I don't know, your Peter Purvises of this world, your Bobby Davros. Do you know what I mean? Your real, your high rollers, right? But she said, now you look at it, you think, yeah, it's a little bit more expensive than Asda.
It's a Harrods premium, but not much.
But probably if you shop at Waitrose, for example, you'd barely notice the fucking difference. And that is the cost of living crisis. That's one of the most vivid sort of illustrations of it. Like,
I mean, Harrods prices possibly...
If I was a columnist in the Sunday newspapers, right?
Yeah,
I'd write a column that was called, We All Shop at Harrods Now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all shopping at Harrods now, yeah.
Do you think the Harrods prices, have they come down? Well, I mean, were the Harrods prices kind of set by the Queen when she was alive?
They're just set.
They're just set by who? Muhammad Al-Fayed's gone now. Who's setting the prices?
No, the Queen's
in charge there.
The Queen set them. And she died, and that's why they haven't gone up. Because since she died, it's been in limbo. It's been in a limbo situation. Charles doesn't know whether he's inherited that right. Al-Fayed's dead. There's a power vacuum at Harrods, basically. Right? The Queen and Al-Fayed are both dead.
Gone.
Yeah.
Imagine what's going on up in heaven with them two. And Diana. And
fucking
Dorian.
Hell, right? I know we've slated The Crown a lot, right? But I saw an episode of The Crown. My daughter was watching it, right? And the geezer they've got playing Al-Fayed is one of the fucking funniest, like, depictions on British television. It's like, it's a hark back to the 1970s, right? It's how they would have cast and portrayed an Arab billionaire in a 70s sitcom.
From the sitcom Mind Your Language.
Yeah, it's like that. It's so funny. And the actor, I recognise him from somewhere. I'm pretty sure he's not an Arab in real life, right? But he's like a comedy actor. It's really funny. He's like, damn your daddy! Why will the Queen not answer my calls? It's really fucking funny.
He's called Salim Dow.
Oh, he does sound like
he's
an Arab.
He's Palestinian.
Oh, right, okay.
Best known for The Crown. I don't know what else he's been in. He's in Fowder. That's where you've seen him.
Oh, I've seen him in fucking Fowder, haven't I?
He's Fowder. Sam. Yeah.
Obviously.
He was Sheikh Awadallah in Fowder. Whoever that
Sheikh
was.
Sheikh Awadallah. That sounds like something from a fucking pantomime as well, doesn't it?
Sheikh Awadallah. Yeah.
Sheikh Awadallah. I've told you about my thing about about J.K. Rowling naming the one Chinese. You know, like there's no ethnic minorities in any of the Harry Potter books. It's fully white, right? It's like Hogwarts is a fucking fully white institution. I mean, it's whiter than Eton, right? And but they got this Chinese girl who goes there, right? She's like the one concession to diversity at Hogwarts. Guess what? I don't know if you're familiar with the Harry Potter books. My kids used to like them.
No, past the spy.
Right, the one Chinese character in the whole Hogwarts is a girl, and J.K. Rowling named her Cho Chan, right? And I always go to my kids, a bit fucking lazy, innit? Hey, go to me. I said, a bit fucking lazy. She's got one ethnic minority character, right? And she's Chinese, and they've gone, what are you going to call the Chinese character you come up with? Oh, I don't know, Cho Chan, something like that. Put Cho Chan down now as a placeholder, right? We'll go back when we edit the file and we'll figure something better, right? And go, and then JK, yeah, it's the editor here over at the publishers. Just wanted your final decision on the Chinese character's name. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. What's she down as at the moment? What have I got her down as at the moment? Well, you've got her down as Cho Chan. Yeah, to be honest, that sounds all right. Just leave it at that.
I've got used to that. I've learned to love it. It's like, that's from Madame Butterfly. There's a character in Madame Butterfly called Cho Cho San.
Oh, right, there you go.
She nicked it from that, I think, and just tweaked it a bit. I only know that. I don't know that because I know anything about Madame Butterfly, the opera. I only know the Malcolm McLaren single that came out in 1985 or whatever. Madame Butterfly.
Well, I was quite impressed for a moment there, mate. I thought, fucking hell, Andy knows his opera.
I thought I'd qualify it.
Well, I think it would be nice if me and you did get into opera. It would be nice if we were exposed to this sort of thing. Did our own fucking opera, why not?
No reason why we can't. The fucking gatekeepers won't stop us. I should just say hello to whichever cunter it was that shouted at me last night at a Paul Weller gig in Stockton-on-Tees. Apparently someone shouted, "You fucking do it," as I walked past, as I was leaving.
What, did someone else tell you that?
My brother told us that. He was walking behind me, and whoever shouted just a couple of seconds too late, and I missed it.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That was nice.
What was Paul Weller like?
As you'd expect.
I saw him live supporting Madness a couple of years ago, and I thought he was great. He did an acoustic set. And it was Teenage Cancer Trust, and it was just a bonus. I'd bought it to go and see Madness because Len wanted to see Madness. But it was like, and it was his Steve Craddock, isn't it? His guitarist.
He's in it, yeah.
Was he wearing his hat? No. He's got a hat, hasn't he? Yeah, Craddock
wasn't wearing a hat.
He's got a sort of special 60s hat that he wears.
Have that on. He saw his hair and everything. No, to be fair, he was good. Weller was good. It was what I expected. It's good because he didn't do very many of the hits. He kind of sprinkled them throughout the set. And then when he did do a hit, everyone went absolutely batshit.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time was kind of, it was all go to the bar, go to the bog stuff.
I listened to a great podcast with him. I don't know if you know it, there's a podcast called, I think it's called Desperately Seeking Paul. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with this, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really great story of a podcast. You know what the story is? The geezer, he was a former radio broadcaster, right? His name's Dan Jennings, and he basically, when he sort of retired or stepped back from his broadcasting career, his one big regret was that he'd never interviewed Paul Weller, who was his hero. Right?
Yeah.
So he started a podcast called Desperately Seeking Paul. And the idea was he would keep trying to get in every week. It was an episode with a Paul Weller fan or someone associated with Paul Weller. But each episode he would try and get a little bit closer to the man himself. And along the way, you know, he's interviewed, you know, all the people from the bands. I'm sure our good friend and listener to the show, Mick Talbot, would have been on it.
Talbot. Hello, Mick, if you're listening.
Yeah, and you know, they had Paul's mum on and his sister on, like everyone, right?
Right.
All the old members of his crew, everything. And eventually, I haven't listened to them all, I've listened to some. Eventually, I think earlier this year or late last year, he finally got Paul Weller, right? And yeah. he always said, when I get Paul Weller, whenever that might be, it might be on episode 3 or it might be on episode 500, I will retire the show.
Yeah.
I will That's retire it. The show.
Yeah, no more.
And he
yeah.
got it on episode 180. He got Paul Weller. And then he's and now he's retired the show. But the interview with Weller is really, really good. I mean, I'm a right. lifelong Paul
oh,
Weller
fan. Oh, I
definitely
listen to that, yeah.
But it's
I'm
so...
I'm sure he's a great interview. Yeah.
It's so good.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
Yeah, there's some really great insights on there. I think even if you don't, even if you're not a fan of the music, I mean, there is, you know, he's a guy who's been around the houses, yeah. and he's got some really great insights on life and society and everything. And he's got a great line that I really like in it, where he says, you know, he goes, obviously, lots of people have called you a genius. Your fans regard you as a genius, and he goes, I honestly do not think I am a genius. I really reject that. He said, but I think that I'm really good at being me, right? And I thought, what a brilliant way to put it. And what a brilliant thing, because, you know, that's it really, isn't it? I mean, I can see that in him. He's like sort of decided who he is and what he likes and what his worldview is. And he really lent into that from a very early age, right? Yeah. And has sort of turned it into a thing that people like. And authenticity is a rare thing. And yeah. I think all of us struggle a little. Everyone puts on disguises through their life, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Everyone wears masks to some extent or another. And sometimes you don't even realise you're doing it. You're behaving in a certain way to get a certain response or to please other people. But, you know, I mean, I suppose he's a guy who just went his own path. And some people, like a lot of people liked it, not everyone did. But he just stuck with his own path and people reacted to that. And I thought it was a nice way of putting it.
I mean, that's the thing, that I think the stuff that he's done in the last, say, 15 years or so is really interesting, because he's just kind of gone, I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Mm.
And none of it is kind of, not play to the gallery, but kind of traded on the success that he had in the 90s when he kind of came back again.
Yeah.
And did Stanley Road and Wildwood and all that.
Mm.
He could have done that again and again and again.
Yeah.
But he hasn't. He's still exploring new sounds and new styles and things.
That's the bulk of what this podcast episode's about, is him talking about why he's approached that way. But that's his whole thing. I mean, I suppose it's the modernist ethos, isn't it? He's just always, he's never really been interested in rehashing stuff. He just wanted to try the next thing,
The word mod short for modernist, isn't it? And it's all about trying to, you know, hit the future and everything. But he was kind of a bit apologetic about it last night. He kind of says, look, I know that you haven't all come to hear, you know, some of these songs I'm going to do. He says some of these songs are going to be from the new album. You won't ever have heard them yet. He says, but I want to play them, and I think you should hear them. So there you go.
Which I think is, it's a fair deal at a gig, isn't it? I mean, he says that he did go through a phase where he released an album and I can't remember when he said it was, he went and he did a tour where he just turned up every night and just played the new album that no one had heard and nothing else. But as he's saying it, he knows it's like a strange or like weird thing to do. And he'd be like, and some nights I'd be thinking, fuck me, this is the worst idea I've ever had. Like, no one's engaged in this at all. Because sometimes you do it, you know.
I'm pretty sure he's done greatest hits tours in the past, and I'm sure if he was going to do one again, he'd plug it as a greatest hits tour, and the tickets would fly out the door.
They would, yeah, but he doesn't sound like he's that inclined to do it. Yeah,
he's not asked. Fair fucking.
But anyway, I can recommend that to anyone, whether you like his music or even if you don't. I think you know a lot of people will find him just an interesting person. So I'm glad you enjoyed the gig.
I'll give a plug to the support group or a group called Barbara, some young fellas from Brighton.
Yeah.
And they, I actually bumped into two of them. I was coming out of a Haircut 100 gig last year. Barbara had been supporting Haircut 100, but I got there late and I hadn't heard their set, but they recognised me from Mince.
Oh, wow.
Big Mince fans.
Yeah.
And they kind of said, hi, Andy, love the podcast. No, they didn't say anything about this podcast. Unfortunately, I don't know if they subsequently got into this one or not.
Well, but maybe they have listened to this one, but they just actively don't like it, and they were just too polite to say that. They just said,
it could be that.
Like Athletico Mints, and you said, what about my other pod? And they just looked through you.
Ah, they kind of went, Not keen. No. So, They got in touch and sorted us out with support guest list for last night.
Fucking hell.
they were supporting Weller, and they're a bit Divine Comedy, a bit kind of chamber pop,
right?
XTC, I think there's bits of like American bubblegum pop going on there as well.
Yeah,
but they're really different, and they said that they think that's why they got the Weller support slot, because he likes putting on groups that are different and stand out a bit.
He really sort of stays up with all new music as well. He talks about that a lot on it as well.
And I was talking to the guy who's the singer, and he said Weller had a chat with him before it all kicked off and everything. He said, just go out there, just do your thing. He says, not all of the crowd are going to be into you. Don't worry about it. Just go out and do it and be yourselves. And enough of them will be into it. And that's kind of how it went last night. Brilliant. It was really good. So that
well,
was
we
that,
talk about that,
that's
a lot,
all nice.
Don't we? You know, sometimes you just got to do your own thing.
Aston Villa have scored twice.
No.
In the last 10 minutes. Yes.
So Liverpool and Arsenal both lost. They fucking hell. I mean, you know, listen, I've always quite liked Man City. I haven't got a big problem with Man City, but it is fucking boring. And now those two have choked, and City won't choke, will they? They just won't.
Nah, I can't see it.
So that's it now. I was really enjoying this three-horse race, and now it's all been fucked.
It's finished. It's going to be over by probably end of next week.
Yeah.
City will have won the title. Yeah, 2-0 full-time, and nobody predicted that.
No, I don't suppose they would have done. But Arsenal looked like they were nervous throughout that game. Anyway, listen, going back to pop music... I thought of you the other day because you just
thank
mentioned.
You.
Yes, I did think of you because I went to an exhibition. I think I mentioned it at Somerset House, and the title of the exhibition is Cute, right? So obviously,
cute.
I thought of you. You're
you
synonymous.
Thought of me.
You're synonymous with the word cute, aren't you? Right.
Yeah, of course. I certainly am.
You're really popular in Japan. Like, schoolgirls are really into you and have, like, weird posters and cartoon versions of you and stuff like that.
There's cartoon versions of me, yeah. There's a cartoon series. it's called Andrew Cute, it's called.
Andrew Cute! Right, yeah. So... No, it was really interesting. It was about the history of Cute. I went with my daughter and you sort of think, how much is there in this? At the beginning, I'll say one thing that I think is really interesting. Right at the beginning of this exhibition, I said, Cute as a concept has only existed since Edwardian times. Before that, there was no notion of the idea of cuteness.
Cuteness wasn't a thing.
And the reason it came about was because it was only in Edwardian times that child mortality rates dropped significantly. Until that time, being a child, right, was only was considered something you just had to basically grow out of slash survive without dying.
It was perilous. Yeah.
Right. And it was only in the Edwardian era, because of advances in welfare and healthcare and sanitation, that suddenly being a kid was no longer just some really dangerous and quite disagreeable thing. The other thing was is that, that it was dangerous, but also adults just regard them as like they're just annoying, not fully formed humans yet, and you've just got to hope that they will grow out of it, right, sooner rather than later. So suddenly, kids, childhood, for the first time, became regarded as something that could be enjoyed and treasured, as opposed to just something that you needed to somehow survive, right? And around the same time, animals, which had always just been purely used for work purposes, suddenly, right?
Or food.
Around the same time, people started keeping domestic pets, mostly cats, right?
Right.
And so suddenly, children and cats became these things that weren't just like irritants that were just there briefly and usually died. They became things that people treasured and valued. And around that same time, a lot of illustrators, particularly ones in newspapers or commercial illustrators who did postcards and whatnot, right, started drawing cute versions of children and kittens with very big eyes.
Yeah.
And so the concept of cute was born, and it was born as a sort of a marketing device, really.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I thought that was really interesting. But the bit, apart from general cuteness reminding me of you, was I was thinking, from how many angles can they legitimately examine the notion of cuteness? Because I don't want to be here for ages, but you had to pay to get in. So I want to see more than just a couple of pictures of Hello Kitty. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Right. But it was really good. And there was one thing, and it was about, I'm finally getting to the bit that I thought, oh, Andy would be interested in that. Postcard Records, the Scottish record label from the 80s, which I'd not heard of, but I instinctively knew you would have done. And it was like the idea was that out of the grim economic circumstances, grey weather, industrial setting, and all round kind of bummer of Scotland in the 1980s, right? They launched a record label that had an idea of kind of cute pop at its heart, right? Where everything, all of the bands that they worked with were like fun and sweet and almost childlike in their lyrics and approach. So I guess it was Orange Juice and Altered Images were both part of it, right?
Aztec Camera as well, because like early Orange Juice, they kind of go around wearing shorts and stuff and doing their jingle jangle pop and being all fear and slightly camp and all that kind of thing. And it was all that going on.
I think that's nice. And of course, Aztec Camera and Altered Images, I mean, these are like, this is fucking very, very feel-good pop, isn't it?
Totally.
So, So I thought that was good. I thought, Andy will know all about that. Maybe I'll tell him about it at some point. And he'll be really impressed.
How long's that on for then?
I don't know, but it's worth a look if you're down. It's worth a look about. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. I was in a vintage shop in Alnwick in Northumberland last week.
Oh yeah.
I went up there it was pissing it down. Don't know why I went, but I walked in and there's this box in the book department, and it had about 50 issues of early 80s smash hits in it. And I thought, someone is looking down on me. Because I was trying to go to, I've told you about Barter Books before, I have another book, the bookshop in Alnwick, what used to be Alnwick train station.
Yeah, you did, because I was going to drive past it on my way. Yeah.
It's brilliant. Couldn't get in. It's during the Easter school holidays, I think. I thought, it's pissing it down, no one's going to go. Couldn't get in. Massive traffic jam in the car park, which is pretty small anyway.
Wow. It was rammed in the bookshop.
It was rammed. Couldn't get in the car park, and I couldn't park anywhere near and walk because it was so pissing it down so much. So I ended up going to this vintage shop as a backup, and there's 50 issues of smash hits. And I had to restrain myself. I only bought 8 in the end because it was £3 each. I managed to, rein it in.
Did you spend a long time like selecting, like going through the very best ones? And did you base it on cover or did you go inside before choosing?
I based it on the ones that were from like kind of 1983, 1984, which is when it was in its pomp for me. Mm. The early years, 79, 80, it wasn't that great. It wasn't as funny 83, as it turned out to be. Yeah. So I just snapped up the ones, 83, 84. I wasn't going to be complete. They're all online anyway, but yeah,
it was 84
like,
when I got into it.
Treasure.
I got into it because of Madonna. Like when Madonna first got big, which I think was about 84 when she got very big. I think, you know, she had records out in 83 or whatever, but she got very, very big in 84, didn't she? And I think I started buying it then for pictures. Yeah. I think I've told you the story before about when my country cousin arranged a treasure hunt of Madonna pictures at his house in the summer holidays. And he did in some in a deck chair. And I pulled the deck chair out. I fucking found them. And the wind blew them everywhere like confetti. Me Madonna pictures.
I had a collection of Madonna pictures out of magazines back then as well, but for different reasons.
It makes you think though, doesn't it? Like now, you want a Google image, you fucking want a picture of anything. You're just like, I'll type it in.
In the world.
You could fucking AI it if you wanted and just make Madonna do whatever you wanted. Whereas then, I was in the middle of fucking Gloucestershire in some village in the arse end of nowhere, fucking searching for a cottage and its surrounding fucking fields, looking for shitty little cut out bits of Madonna from the magazines. Hunting it down like it was fucking gold.
Imagine if you used to have a successful scrapbook company back in the day. Not anymore. Nah. Oh, I used to be big in the scrapbook business. Nobody buys them anymore.
It's dead now.
It's all on the fucking internet. It's all on their fucking phones.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's wrap it up because we've got connection issues here.
Yeah, okay.
It's dropping in and out. I don't even know what anyone said half the time. Update on the predictions then. You got 3 at the weekend. ResultsBot got 2. And I got 1.
So
you're 5 points ahead of ResultsBot now.
Yeah. Still all to play for though, isn't it?
Still all to play for. Of course, there's all the Premier League fixes on the last day of the season to be predicted. I'm still 10 behind ResultsBot. I could catch up, couldn't I?
Yeah, no reason why not, mate.
Well, I've just got to believe in myself, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, and that's it. We'll be back throughout the week with all the usual stuff. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.